Good evening. You know, every Palm Sunday, this gospel, this passion of our Lord challenges me. I mean, it's, let's face it, it's brutal to get through, not just because we all have to stand the whole time and because we have to read so much. It's the content that's difficult here. Jesus, who we've been reading about all year, who's the miracle healer, the one who has great teachings, great compassion, the Jesus who does all these incredible things throughout the year, now we watch him brutally treated and murdered. But I would say this is not just a gospel reading that we have to sort of get through. We really should read it several times, especially this week. And if we come Friday to the Passion, we'll hear it again. But we have to read it because it confronts us with the truth, with the reality of why Jesus came and who he really was. I really only have one point to make in this very brief homily, because I know we had such a long gospel. Every single thing that happened that we just read was not by accident. It was according to God's divine plan. And what we read is the heart and the core of who Jesus was and why he came. It's all here in the Passion. I say this because I think there's a distortion circulating, not just today, but really throughout every age of Christianity, a distortion on who Jesus really was and why he came into the world. You know, when I was in college, I was at a Catholic college in the 1980s, and my theology professor gave us a final assignment where he said, I want you to read and review or write an essay on a biography of Jesus. That's great. It's a theology class. That sounds reasonable. But I can see it to this day. He had this big desk in the front of the room covered with books. And they were books that were like this: Jesus the Socialist Revolutionary, Jesus the Therapist, Jesus the Feminist Supporter, Jesus the Anti-War Activist. You can tell we were coming out of the Vietnam War. Jesus the Promoter of Economic Justice. You know, today if we were doing this, it might be Jesus the Climate Change Activist. You know, all these different images and understandings of why Jesus came, with this theme of let's make this world a better place. But this gospel reading confronts us with the reality that Jesus came for much more than just to improve this world. There are many different ways you can look at the life of Jesus. And again, all those books give you some sense of what was circulating when I was in college. But there's only one true and authentic reason about who Jesus was and why he came. He came to suffer and to die and to take the punishment for our sins, to free us from our sins and from our slavery to sin, to undo all the works of the devil, all the evil that's been propagated throughout the world. That's the reason Jesus came. That's why this gospel is so important for us to really hold on to. It's unpleasant, but we should read it, because all those other distortions about who Jesus was, I don't know where they come from. This, what we just read, is the heart and soul of who Jesus was and why he came to save us, to rescue us. Isaiah chapter 53, which we'll read during Holy Week. Isaiah, 600 years before all of these events, Isaiah prophesied in very much detail what was about to happen. In chapter 53, Isaiah says, he was pierced for our sins, crushed for our iniquities. He bore the punishment that makes us whole. By his wounds we have been healed. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. It's all right here. Jesus was in fact pierced, right? We know the story. But it was the will of the Father that this happened, and then happened in the way it happened. Because Jesus bore our sins. He took the punishment that was due to each one of us. In the first letter of Peter, Peter actually refers back to this prophecy. So this is the New Testament understanding, maybe 40 or 50 years after these events. St. Peter has a chance to reflect and think about all these things. And he says in 1 Peter chapter 2, Jesus himself bore our sins in his body upon the cross, so that we, free from sin, might live for righteousness. Here it is again, the heart of the reason Jesus came. to bear our sins in his body so that we could be free from sin and live for righteousness. And one more very powerful quote from one of the fathers of the church, St. Maximus the Confessor, says the same thing in a slightly different way. He says, "Jesus freed us from our sins, many and grievous as they were, by suffering and dying, taking them upon himself as if he were answerable to them, sinless though he was." There's the theology of everything we just read. Jesus was completely sinless, without sin, we know that. But he took upon himself our sins as if he were answerable to them. We all deserve punishment for our sins, and Jesus took our place and said, I'll do it. He told the Father, I will take the punishment due to each one of them for their sins. So what we read about here, again, as brutal as it is, was no accident. You know, if Jesus came as an economic justice promoter and a socialist promoter and all those things, then we would look at this and say, well, the mission was a failure because he died unexpectedly before he had a chance to complete those things. And that's the mistake that some people make. But Jesus did not come primarily to improve the world. He came to suffer, to die, to accept the punishment due to each one of us for our sins. And so what we just read is the opposite of a failure. It may look like a failure. The cross may look like a failure, but it's not. It's the victory of our Lord. It's precisely the thing that the Father wanted to accomplish. So I encourage you to meditate this week on the seriousness of our sins, which is what caused our Lord to suffer the way he did. To ask the Lord to reveal to us our sinfulness and how serious and disastrous they are. I think in general, I know for me, maybe I speak just for myself, I don't think I take my sins seriously enough, but they truly are awful and they have disastrous consequences. You know, speaking of disaster, very quick story. Also, when I was in college, I worked for a company where we sprayed very large trees and we drove this massive truck, probably had 600 or 700 gallons of this chemical in it. My partner and I drove to a house, parked, got out. I had the spray hose in my hand, and I'm spraying this giant elm tree. And all of a sudden, the hose gets yanked out of my hand, and I see the hose and the sprayer just flying across the yard. And of course, your brain is always slow to catch up about what's going on. So we run to the front yard, and there's the truck going down the street. It was at the top of a hill. And what we saw was devastation. It had gone through yards, past houses, it tore up everything and ended up in a ditch. I had this incredible pit in my stomach, this feeling of disaster. Like, what have I done? This is just awful. I wished I could go back in time and just, you know, we forgot to put the parking brake on in case you didn't figure this out. I wished I could go back in time and fix it all. Well, my brothers and sisters, Jesus fixed it all. That pit that we feel sometimes because of our sinfulness, the disastrous nature of our sins, Jesus came to undo all of that, to forgive us. He took the blame for everything we've ever done and is willing to offer us forgiveness if we just turn to him. So that's my encouragement. This Holy Week, read the Passion and think about our sinfulness and what the Lord did out of love for us so that everything would be fixed. Everything would be forgiven, and we could, as St. Peter says, live now for righteousness. Amen.